time because Sunday, it would be testing produces testimony. Because Sunday, the Lord had us on about worrying, you know, and we read scriptures where he said, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about things, you know. And you can have plenty of money and worry about money. I mean, you can have plenty and be set up and still worry. You can worry. Worry is something that'll kill faith. It'll get you over into a realm of unbelief and fear, and then you're not in faith, and that produces wrong results. Anytime anybody, I've ever seen anybody, Christian or non-Christian alike, operating in fear, they always making wrong choices. Pressure will cause them to make wrong choices every time, you know, just about every time. So if you're having problems, you're going to have to work on not worrying. And the way you do that is casting things over on the Lord, leaning on the Lord, you know. And so if worry is trying to be a part of your life, whether it's about your kids, it's about your where you're going to live, it's about your future, you know, about your ministry, you know, I mean, a lot of different things, you've got to stop that. You know, you do not have to worry. That is in the Bible. You don't have to worry. I've had a bunch of preachers tell me at one time, Brother Weston, you have to worry about something. I said, no, I don't, but you do. I don't worry. Jesus said, don't worry. I said, and it's wrong to worry. I said, I've been working on not worrying. I said, you ain't going to convince me that I got to worry. So, you know, I mean, pressures of life, you know, we have a lot of pressures in this life. In school system, schools, you know, what's going on in the world, you know, what's going on in the supernatural realm. I mean, there's a lot of turmoil things in the supernatural realm. The Bible says the earth groans and travails waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God. That's me and you. That's us. That's the body of Christ, you know. And I mean, he's raising up a body in this last hour that is not going to worry, that is not going to get in fear. They're going to be built up, and they are, and we're part of them. They are going to do the will of God, what they know to do the will of God. Whatever you know to be the will of God in your life, then you've got to pursue that. I mean, you've got to fight for that. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. You know, and I've had Christians to tell me over the years, you know, well, I just don't have faith like you do. You don't need faith like I got. I got a little bit, but I got it. You know, but see, that's their mentality. If I just had the faith, if somebody, nah, you're supposed to look at those that are going through and laying hold and not say, I wish I had that. Do what they're doing. They're doing something. They're doing something that produces testimony. See, testimonies in our life is a proof of God's provision and power. Anytime we have a testimony in our life that is God, we know God has done something and brought us something and all of that. That is proof positive that of the power and provision of our God. But, you know, and so, I mean, you know, the last two or three years, I've always been in tests. I don't know. Maybe I'm just one of them Christians that's going to go through it. How many of y'all's had tests this week? Slip your hand up. Don't lie. Look at here, everyone. I got the right message tonight. I got it. I got the right message. I know. You know, because testing your life, whatever you want to call it, your pressure, your trial, your hardship, you're all of a sudden, all of this is going to produce a testimony if I yield the right way. If I don't yield the wrong way, if I yield the right way in financial pressure, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, your word says in the Bible, your word says that you drive sickness, and you told them you would drive sickness and disease far from them. And my testimony right now in this church and out of this church and all the time is, God, it was drove far from me through Jesus, and I'll never be sick again another day in my life. Now, my body tells me different. But see, the test, the challenge, the thing that I might be going through and facing will come out a testimony if I don't give up in it, if I don't throw up the white flag, if I don't get discouraged, if I don't lay my faith down, if I don't lay the word down. And, you know, I mean, Satan wants you burnt out, tired of fighting. But see, if you're fighting in your own strength, he can burn you out. But if you're leaning on Jesus, built up in Jesus, you're trusting in Jesus, you're trusting in the living word, hallelujah, you can't burn that person out because they are founded on the rock. We're on a solid foundation. The chief cornerstone, his name is Jesus. Now, if you're not born again, you are on sinking sand. I mean, life can throw you blows and get you discouraged and get you where you wished you wasn't born. You wish things was different. I remember thinking of if somebody would just give me and Teresa a break, we could do something. But you know what? Jesus told me one time, the Holy Spirit, when I started growing and developing in Him, He said, I gave you a break, and His name is Jesus. I gave you the way. I gave you the truth. I gave you the life that you can live. And God told me to tell you, He said, you endeavor, you set out to enjoy life now. If you wait till things get better, you're never going to enjoy life. I'm talking about trials and things like that and darkness and challenges and all of that. In this world, you're going to have tribulation, Jesus said. I mean, it's inevitable. I don't care if you... I mean, Aiden comes home from school today and he's got his ears twisted. I mean, he's in kindergarten, for God's sake. How many knows there's some little hellions in kindergarten? They've been raised hellions, you know. That's not saying bad about the kid. The kid is only let do what he or her's let do. But if we raise ours up and we go through the challenges, and I mean, I would like to teach him to go smack them. You just lay back. You're in kindergarten. You're not going to get in that much trouble. How much trouble can you get in kindergarten? Just, baby, just lay back and tell him to, you know. But how many knows love is the way? See what I'm saying? You cannot get in a wrong spirit even though it is coming to your house. Because now, when the test, this test is going to bring forth a testimony. I'm going to testify that I didn't blow the school up. I'm going to testify that I've got Jesus now and I don't have to walk in the flesh. I'm going to testify, if it had not been for Jesus, I would have blew up. I would have taught them, you know. See what I'm saying? But because of the test, I'm going to have a testimony. Because of your test, if you yield the right way, you stay in right thinking, you don't yield to the way it feels, the way you feel, what you want to think and what you want to say that is carnal, that is outlined out away from the Word of God, then you will get testimony. See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went in the fiery furnace, and they came out with a testimony. I mean, Daniel in the lion's den, he went in. Just because you're a Christian don't mean that you're never going to face things. You're going to face things because you are a Christian, because you have took a stand against the devil, and you've took a stand against darkness, and you've took a stand against your own flesh. But see, a testimony is the power, the proof of the provision and power of God. See, back in when COVID hit and everybody lived through it all, hey, some Christians, they flunked it like flying colors. Some Christians, buddy, they was flunking a little bit, but then they readjusted and they cranked up some preaching and some Jensen Franklin and whoever you like, pray God, and they made some adjustments in there. What they did, they took the test and come out with a testimony. Let God, it come against my house, but I didn't bow. Yeah, I might have felt weak, and I give in a few times and made mistakes, but I got up, I repented, and I said, sorry, God, with your help, I'll disannul all of those those words I said, see, they were some, and then they were some that went through it. They didn't bend at all. They didn't bend at all. They kept a right heart and all of that stuff, praise God. Well, all through my own experience, I wanted to quit the God's door business, and I am not a quitter. Because of the transition that was taking place and all of that stuff and the trouble that I was... I'm having to train new people how to know what I need over yonder. Then they're not sending half the orders. They're sending half the orders. I had to get on that and tell them, don't you ever send me a door that ain't complete. Don't you ever. And expect me to write you a check. Well, I wasn't being ugly. Why I'm telling you that is because the Lord told me. The Lord says the hand of the diligent will bear rue. He said, now this testing is here. He said, and you've got to make some adjustments. He said, you've got to change some things. Change the way you're doing. Change the way. And so in doing that, I started sparing myself trouble down the road. See what I'm saying? So don't let your test cause you trouble on down the road. By wrong decisions, by throwing in the towel. You believing to come out of debt, then make up your mind you never going to borrow another dime another day in your life. And when you do that with God's help, then God will inside of you, He'll put it in you, He'll put it in you to be out of debt. He'll put it in you to come out. He'll put it in, and then He'll anoint your decisions. Then He'll begin to bring you out. I don't care if you're $1.5 million in debt, but God is a big, big God. But you know what? That mountain, I know when I first, I went on and I made changes and I started having less trouble in my business, less and less and less and less. But you know what? I have them again, just in a different way, Johnny. I thought, when we get all this straightened out, but God, then I didn't want to retire anymore. I'm ready to go work again, Mac. I'm just ready to go again. But God, all this. See, what I'm saying in this, see, all of the trials and troubles and pressures of this life will make you want to quit. And quitters don't win. But winners don't quit. Paul told him over there, he said, he who runs, run, everybody's running. Over there, at the time Paul was talking to people, they had the Olympics over there in Greece and all of that. And they full well knew what he was talking about when he brought in spiritual principles, because nobody at that time missed these Olympics, man. I mean, they went. When these Olympics, it was on and everybody went. So he said, everybody runs. He said, but run to win. They run to gain an incorruptible crown, but we run a corruptible crown, but we run to win an incorruptible crown. Hallelujah. So we're in a run with the Lord. We're in a race, so to speak. We're not in a race, but we're in this thing just like they are. They train. We train. You know how we train? We get up in the morning, glory to God, hallelujah, good morning, Lord. This is the day that you've made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. And no weapons formed against me today, Lord. Well, that's how we train. We get up and we train, and then we go out and we say, thank you, Lord, for your grace today and your mercy today and your ability in my life to help me do my job like I should, help me do my schoolwork, young guys and girls. Depend. I'm teaching my grandkids. You might think they're just a little kid. Nah, they are little, but they're coming up big, praise God. They're going to come up big leaning on Jesus in kindergarten, leaning on Jesus in third grade, leaning on Jesus up here when they get into sixth grade, into seventh grade. Acknowledge their training. If they do that, we're training them to win in the trials. This life, if you've lived it very long, y'all young folk, y'all been sheltered from a lot of trouble by your parents, your overseers, your guardians, and all of that. But there'll come a day when you get out from under them, And then you hope you have listened to your whole life about this Jesus and about how to train and about how to be a warrior for God. Because when you get out in the world, this ungodly world don't love you like church people. They don't love you like your parents. They don't love you like your grandparents. They don't care about you like God does. And the world holds no mercy. There's no mercy. And people out in the world lost without Jesus, they don't mean to, but they're just trying to survive. And sometimes they make bad, wrong decisions and step up and climb on and hurt you and all of that. And you got to be tough. You got to be tough. The only way to be tough is in Him. Leaning on Him. Bible says in Ephesians 6:10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Right there. Finally, my brethren. It don't say be strong in your own self. Just be determined in your little mind. No, he says be strong in the Lord. There's the foundation of your building to become what God wants you to be. And do all that God wants you to be. And have all that God, even in this natural world. A house, cars, nice things. You know what I'm saying? God's not against any of that. He's not against. The Bible says it pleases Him to prosper me and you. And so the testing that you're in, a lot of y'all in test. I know, I got the right word. I know what I'm talking about. But God, but I told Teresa just a day or two ago, I said, something, you know, to the effect. I said, I purpose. I'm going to be joyful in this life that I'm living right now. I'm not going to be an unhappy Christian. Why me, Jesus? Oh, Jesus, you know I love you. I don't know why the devil's just picking on me. He hates you. Because if you are a Christian, He hates that in you. He hates the way you are. He hates the way you think. He hates the way you speak to people about Jesus. He hates the way you pray for people. He hates the way that you fast and you seek the Lord. He hates the way that you stand on the Word of God. He's your adversary. He's your opponent. And He wants you defeated. He wants you failing in life. He can't do it to you. He cannot do it to you. But He wants you to believe He can. He wants you to believe you're a nobody. He's a liar. He wants to you to believe your background's the reason why who you was raised. I was raised in a big family, 17 of us. I believed that I never was going to have nothing. I believed before I got born again that I wouldn't ever keep my marriage together. I couldn't. I wasn't strong in Him. I was making wrong decisions. I was making the wrong decisions to try to keep what I loved. Making wrong decisions. And couldn't see it. But when I got born again, the Lord brought freedom. How many knows the Bible says, whom the Son has set free is free. You're free from fear. You're free from anger. You're free. You're free from torment. You are free. Well, I'm tormented. Your fault. You're not waiting on God. He done set you free. You got to get up and do what? Train. Train. Get that Bible out and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I am made in the image and likeness of God. And once you get trained in it, you don't have to train no more. You just walk in it. You're like, bless God. He says, you ain't nobody. Say, shut up, idiot. I didn't train my way out of that one. You might as well go talk to somebody over yonder. Don't know what they know, what I know. Well, he attacked this church one time, spiritually. And so I went to him and I said, hey, Satan, let me tell you something. I said, you should not have attacked this church. You should have went and attacked somebody that ain't got no faith. I said, you're going to pay back double. You're going to pay us back. You're going to pay sevenfold. I told him sevenfold. You're going to pay sevenfold of what you attacked. We're going to recover all. Hallelujah. Well, what am I supposed to do later? Oh, God, Lord, I don't know how the body's going to make it. I mean, every time they get up, they get slapped down. God, please help the body. I can't do nothing like that. My hands are like Samson, tied behind my back, letting Satan just do what he wants to. Now, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to fight the good. This is my ministry. This is what God called me to do. This is the will of God for me. And what you know to be the will of God, it might not be doing what I'm doing, pray God, but whatever you know to be the will of God, you need to be bold as a lion against the enemy and fear and lack and all of that that comes against you that says you can't fulfill the will of God. You got to stand up and fight for your right to be free because it's already been paid for. See, in that test that you're in, if you'll get out of your emotions, well, you'll give a testimony. You'll say, glory to God, all I've done is got up and God began to fight the battle for me. All I did is said, God, you're going to school with me. I would not go to no school without Jesus. I mean, look at the books you got to read. Come on, somebody. Look at all that stuff you got to read, that garbage in the library, that mandatory stuff. Listen to all of that cussing stuff you got to listen to in the hallways. You think them kids in there don't cuss? They train to cuss. And y'all young guys, the girls are after the guys now. Used to, the guys was after the girls. Now they just have to walk around. Somebody's coming after me all the time. Girls after them, boy. Well, you better make sure, you, homie, you get the right girl. You better make sure you get the right one. She might be the most popular, the most good-looking one, or he might be the most popular or the most good-looking one, got all the rides and all the bling-blings, but he can be full of the devil, or she can be full of the devil and take you down a road that'll scar you for your life. Dump you like a cold biscuit one day. But you know what? When you get hooked up with the will of God, you get hooked up with the will. If I was single today, I wouldn't even look at a woman. I'd fast and stay at my house. I would fast and I would become a nun. And I mean, if I had a woman, I would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the God handpicked that mama and sent her to me. Why? I wouldn't be saying if I didn't, I ain't got no troubles. You can get into a lot of trouble. Single people need to fast and pray and sit. That's part of your training to trust God to bring His provision to you. Can you see that? I mean, it's not just like roll the dice and the first one that comes by. I mean, ten cars, God, if it's blunt's mine. 10 red cars. Let them go by, God. If this is the one you want for me, let 10 red cars within 2 hours. 2 hours goes by, nines went. Well, God, maybe 2.5 hours. You know good and well that's not the will of God. You know it. I did it. I'm throwing a fleece out, man, to trying to find the will of God. So I give God 30 more minutes, Johnny. I wasn't 6 months old. Lord, I didn't know no better. So the other 30 minutes, I thought, God, it's still another one didn't come by. I still didn't get it. I'm still not sure about the will of God. But you know what I did? I began to fast and pray and say, I will hear from the Lord. I'm going to hear from Him. I heard a sermon not long ago. See, when you're thinking wrong and you're going in the wrong direction with your motives and all of that, and you're unaware of it, not intentional, and you hear something like I just said. I heard a sermon that we're born again. We're not like Gideon. We don't throw fleeces out. We're supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit. And it turned a light on. I thought, no wonder, man. I mean, I could have messed myself up, man. And so I thought, oh, man, I like that fleece stuff. It felt good, man. I had an expectation until the 10th red truck didn't go by. I lost it then. Never gained it back concerning that. So we need to be, see, trials will cause you to miss God. If you don't train yourself for endurance, to be patient, to wait on God, to not be moved by the way things look and feel. I know it's a challenge. We're flesh. We have flesh. We have emotions. And God gave us these emotions. But I'm telling you, the Spirit of God and the Word of God and dedication to Jesus will keep them emotions in check. That's how come I won't teach Aiden to punch his teeth out. Now, I might do something about it. Not going to be bullied. He's not going to be bullied. Not going to happen. Now, I can do something about it godly. And that might be a boldness go up in her head. You know that little boy right there? That's my grandson. I've met your assistant principal over there, and I fixed his doors over there, and you let him know that I'm not going to tolerate that. And tell him, I think Jesus is just warning y'all right now. Do something about your kids. Y'all here to keep them in line. What are they there for? To give them a lollipop? No, you're supposed to be overseeing them kids. And any godly pastor, any godly principal, any godly teacher, any godly, they really Christians, they gonna have these convictions that me and you have. Right? So we expect Christians, not demand, but we expect them to do their job. That's what they take my money for. You pay them? Sure do. I pay taxes. Then they get donations for school. Travis, he told me the other day, he said, I'm not paying for all the kids' pencils in there. How much money do they need for a pencil? That's a trial, ain't it? I ain't got one. I'm out of that one, baby. Hey, you learn through that one. Hallelujah. See, I realized everything I go through, am going through, back under, and now, everything I go through is training ground for me to get higher in the Lord and stronger in the Lord to where a bear's nothing. I've killed a bear, so to speak, David. Killed a lion. Now I come up to Goliath, a big one. He come up to a big one, and just like they're screaming today, church is nobody or nothing. Ain't no big deal about going to church. That's what Goliath's saying now. Ain't no need. You don't get nothing out of church. Blah, blah, blah. Ain't no need in fasting. I mean, God's God. He's sovereign. All of these are doctrines of demons to get you just to lie. No, David goes out there, and he said, come on, send me somebody to fight. Y'all losers. That's what they were saying. Boy, something rose up. He goes back in there and he said, let me go. Let me go. So they tried to put the flesh armor on him. They tried to put the flesh armor on him. They loaded him down. He's like, I can't fight in all this stuff, man. No, man, I got a slingshot. 5 stones. That might be representing fivefold ministry. I don't know. Had that anointing. So he goes out there and he hollers back just like we're supposed to be. To say according to Mark 11, he said, whosoever shall say to that Goliath, say to that mountain, say to that anger, say to that temper, say to that whatever is flesh. We're supposed to be speaking to it. I shall not get mad and smack my wife anymore. Hallelujah. And so he gets out there and he says, you come to me with a sword and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. And today I will feed your head to your carcass to the birds. And he takes that slingshot. I mean, that's representing the word, me and you speak. That's representing the faith coming out of our mouth. He threw that thing, and I believe the Holy Ghost directed that and smacked him right in the forehead, black God, and he went down, and he runs down there, David does, and pulls the dude's sword out. I mean, the one that he had going to kill him with, he pulled it out. That's where the Bible says in Isaiah 54:17, no weapons formed against us will prosper. and every tongue that rises up against us, praise God, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants and the Lord, and their right standing is of me. He goes down there and whacks her head off. Whacked his head off. Holds it up, man. I mean, the whole Philistine army. Whoa, he tore them up in. I mean, they fled, bud. This one man with that big mouth. I mean, oh, Satan got a big mouth. He's a bully. Well, I ain't going to be bullied no more. He ain't going to bully me. He ain't going to tell me I'm a nobody. He's too late. He ain't going to tell me I ain't going to prosper. He's too late. I'm dreaming about prospering again. And it's God. And I'm like, well, why? I wonder why. I don't know what I'm going to do with the money. So I decided, well, I'm going to let my money make me money. I'm going to put my money to work somehow. Somehow. Well, this is another level of thinking, man. I'm like, I've never been here before, Lord. I thought just to get here. If I can just get there, I'll be happy. Well, that's not what makes you happy. The will of God inside of you to prosper you, to have a good life, to serve Him, to want His will. That's what satisfies. The things of the kingdom satisfies. And I go around saying, I'm strong. Who is weak? I tell Satan, not me. If I feel weak, I say what the Bible says. It says, let the weak say they're strong. See, I done been trained in it. Now use what I've been doing. David was trained with a slingshot back in his teenage years. And then all of this other stuff, this carnal stuff, was unfamiliar to him. He hadn't tested it. He didn't know how to use it. I mean, he could see these big warriors. He wasn't, must not have been a big enough dude to pick it up. I don't know. Teenager. But he was good at the slingshot. I'm very good at business. I'm anointed. You're anointed where you're at. You may not be in business, but you've got an anointing that'll cause you to be successful. It'll cause you to succeed. It'll cause you to prosper. God told me one time, He said, if I tell you to go out in the middle of nowhere in a pasture and I'll prosper you there, He said, that's where your prosperity will be, out in the middle of that pasture. Come on, somebody. All of these things that come to us to try to get us to turn away from God to succeed, those are demonic things, and those are people that are carnal. I mean, I could write you a book and probably make you, probably not get you depressed, about how I fought battles with my body. Still am today. I'd write it and y'all be like, God, I never knew it. I mean, why didn't you tell us? Why would I want to tell you? What good would that do? Cause you give you a reason to what? Worry. The Bible tells me to give no place to the devil, right? Now that just don't mean, that means what I say. You know, don't have this poor old me mentality, and don't have these saying, y'all pray for me, I'm a pastor, I mean, I'm under a lot of weight here, the care of the whole church, and I'm under special demon powers that's coming against me. Y'all pray for me. Y'all'd go home, oh my God, what's wrong with the pastor? We've seen him for 20 years like a bull. I mean, dude, you just can't get him to back down. What's happening to him? You'd know something's wrong. Because that Bible don't change. God's glory don't change. God's grace don't change. God's anointing. These things are supposed to increase. Increase as we grow. They are increasing. God sends troubled people into your life. Troubled people don't come into your life because you're a problem solver. My phone used to ring. I got to the point, I'm like, I'm tired of that phone ringing. And I wasn't answering it. I bleed for the business to grow, and then I start getting trouble. And then I don't want to answer the phone. You know, I mean, 2 + 2 = 4, and I wasn't connecting the dots back in. I'm like, man, I'm praying to be blessed, not cursed. How many knows the Bible says where much is given, more is required. Where more is given, more is required. You know? We got to grow. But you know what? We're living in good days. We're living in the best days we could ever live in. No, it was good back in the 60s. No, it wasn't. We're in the good days right now. And I'm going to enjoy this life right now. Walked in the pawn shop, felt led of the Lord. Stopped in the pawn shop. I don't hardly stop. But I bought me an impact, Johnny, one of them half inch. You can take the wheels off with, you know, instead of that lug wrench stuff. Good Lord. And so I bought one of them. And I thought, well, I'll stop in there and see if it's got any. I got plenty of sockets, man. You know how it is when you get something new. You go buy 2 5/8 in case one busts, you know. You got 5 in the drawer. So anyhow, I stopped in there. You know, and I'm looking. That dude, he said, hey, can I help you? I said, nah, man, thank you. I said, I'm just checking things out, man. He said, okay. Like that. Well, I had my garage door shirt on, you know. I was still at work and had to go fix my. I went through it with a cell phone. I run over it and crushed it with a load of chert. And then I couldn't get my text going, couldn't get an email going. That thing tried to worry me all weekend. A phone! Satan, you can't take care of business. You ain't got the text. Oh, you ain't going to be getting them texts. Your customers can't get in touch with you. You better worry. I'm like, what am I going to do about it? It's Sunday. He's trying to wear me out with that. You know. So I just let it go, and I thought, oh, well, but God, they'll wait. Yeah, wait. Got it fixed anyhow. Went in there. And that guy says, hey, you got a card? And I'm thinking, card? Because I wasn't catching it. He's read my garage door shirt, you know. And I said, a card? And then I said, oh, yeah, I got a card out in the truck, man. I'll go get you one, yeah. And so the owner of that pawn shop comes in there, and he said, hey, he said, how much is a 10 by 10? I said, what do you mean 10 by 10? 10 by 10 what? Garage door, you know, 10 barrel door, sectional door, insulated glass, black, white, yellow, what color, like that. Nah, just a standard door, man. I mean, you know, and that. And I said, I don't know, man. I said, I'm going to throw a stupid number out there. I said, I can get close. I said, but you're looking around 28 to 3 grand. Like that. Oh, I just give one away, man. I just give one away. I didn't know I was going to have this building. I said, well, you just lost $3,000. And I started feeling funny. The joy of the Lord is our strength, right? And I'm like, Lord of God, man. So I just relaxed, you know, and got out of a hurry. And so then this other guy, he says, hey, do you have any, he said, I got a door. I don't, he said, I dread going to my shop. I mean, it's outside. I mean, the spring broke. I mean, I almost need a forklift to raise it. He said, I don't even want to go to my shop, man. He said, and I'm like, oh, Johnny, me either, man. You come and fix my garage door. And he said, well, how much is a 10 by 8? I said, I don't know, man. I'm going to throw a stupid number out there. I said, but, you know, you can call me and I'll make sure what you. I said, you're looking somewhere around $1,300 probably, $1,350, something like that. Oh, well, that ain't too bad. I said, but. No, he said, do you give any veterans discounts? I said, yes, I do. I said, since you told me. I said, I jack it up. I said, I jacked the price up. I said, and then I put veterans discount on the ticket. I said, then I bring it down to what I want. I said, then I make you feel good. I said, you feel like you got a veterans discount. He said, what about an easy mind one? I said, it's in there too. I said, I just jack it on up. I said, and then I put veterans discount, easy mind discount, $45. I said, and I still get what I want. And you feel good because you got a veterans discount and you got an easy mind discount. I said, any more discounts you want? I said, did you know that's the way they do it? You go in there, I'm paying for their discounts for their coffee at McDonald's. They figure all this in. Man, they gonna get 10 cents off of their coffee, so we're going to jack it up to 43 cents. No, it's more than that now. How much is it? Dollar and some. My God, see? They can give a veteran's discount for a cup of coffee. Dollar and some, man. Teresa makes 3 cups in there. I bet it don't cost 40 cents. So I told him, I said, you didn't know they done you like that? And all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm enjoying this. And then I told that guy, I said, Nah, let's lay everything down, man. I said, I can save you a thousand. I said, if you ain't run through your door and just drug it out in the yard and nailed it back up and you can lift it, I said, I can come in there and make it work. I said, I can take your old spraying system off. I said, I can put a new spraying system up there. It's a torsion spraying system. I said, I can put you two struts on for $450. I said, I can save you $1,000. He said, dang, let me give you my number right now. He wrote his name, number, and address and everything. And I got a sticky on my dash, you know, like that, you know. And I said, well, look, man, I said, I'm just going to be straight up with you. I'm a couple of weeks behind right now. And I ain't no hurry, man. You just come do it. I said, oh, yeah. I said, since you trust me and you don't even know me, I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I said, I'm going to come in there and I'm going to fix that door and I'm going to put all them struts on there. I'm going to make it work almost new, not new. I said, I'm watching my words here. I said, and if it don't work almost new, I'm taking all that off and fix it back where you can't open and you don't owe me nothing. He said, well, dang, I can't pass this one out. I said, I know it. And I walked out there and I thought, I'm anointed to make money. Glory to God. Blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city. See, don't worry about your life. Don't worry. Just don't worry. Money and things and good things are just happening for you. They just going to come on you, and they're going to overtake you. Why? Because you're not laying down, and you're not laying your faith down, and you're letting the test bring testimony in your life. You're going through the discouragement. The Bible says in Psalm 66:12, he said, you went through the fire. Men rode over your heads. You went through the fire. You went through the flood, but I brought you out to a wealthy place, an abundant place. I mean, just like, I gave that offering, and I'm like, things are happening, man. I'm like, oh, my God. I told Tracy, I said, ooh. I said, we're behind. A couple of weeks or longer, three or four, maybe longer. And it's still coming in. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's good news, but I got to work on this. I got to work on it, see. The pressures of getting it done, see. The pressures of getting there and getting it done and all that. You got to cast it off on the Lord. Pace yourself when things are bringing pressure. Don't let it make you run. You just walk. You just walk and you won't be weary. Those who wait on the Lord, he said, they'll mount up as wings as eagles. They will run and they will walk and not faint. They'll run and not be weary, and they will walk and not faint. Those that wait on him, be strong in the Lord. And the word of God will help you to get closer to the Lord, because you learn what he's done for you. It tells you about how he loves you with an undying love. It tells you that if Christ be, if God be for you, who can be against you? See, that causes you to lean on him, to depend on him, to bring deliverance, to bring you out into that abundant place. And don't sit there and say, well, I just want just enough to get by. I just want enough joy. No, you need enough joy for everybody you come in contact with, because we live in a sad world right now. They need joy. They need peace. So, don't let trials cause you to lose your faith or get discouraged. See, the only reason is we look at ourselves. We look at our, why me? Why am I going through this? Why am I, you know, you got to grow through that. Why not you? Why not go through? Why not let the devil come against you? Why not? I mean, you're a target. If you want him to quit, just backslide. He's got you. He'll leave you alone. Oh, you're doing good. Yeah, you're doing good. Somebody called me, stayed here 8 to 10 years, called me the other day, talking to me, the scripture, that heard a sermon on the scripture, for I know the plans that you have for me, says the Lord, to do you good and not evil. And he heard a sermon, and he said, and he told me, look, just tell me what they said. Get to the point. Well, I mean, the sermon was that everybody's predestined. Some people's predestined for hell, some people's predestined for heaven and all of that, you know. And he said, and it just didn't set well with me. I said, you know why it didn't? Because it ain't true. Right. I told him, I said, I got one scripture. One scripture. See, I had to answer. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a workman, not rightly dividing the word of truth, that you'll have an answer to give. I'm not confused about it. I'm not one bit confused. I'm not confused about what's going on in the world. I'm not confused about why Christians don't do things or why they shouldn't, you know. I'm not confused. I can look at somebody that's sliding back in darkness and I can tell you why. I can say, well, they quit going to church. They quit going to church. Y'all that's sitting out there listening to me right now, you quit going to church. I mean, you're losing your strength. You're losing, just like Samson. You're making wrong choice. You don't even know you've lost your strength sometime until the battle's on and you can't get up and fight. You can't. But when the battle comes to those like David and like y'all and like us, and when it comes to us, we ain't looking for strength. We already got it. We ain't looking. Lord told me one time, he said, don't wait till a trial. He said, don't wait till a trial hits your house to start trying to get strong. He said, get strong and built up where when the trial comes, you're ready. You're ready. You can handle it. It won't move you. Well, I told him, I said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I said, that's the only scripture you need that proves that that is not a true doctrine. I said, you can't get that out of there. I can't get that out of that scripture. For some people, I mean, Monty don't know. I wonder where I'm going. Monty up there, Dad would have to say, well, I don't know. We have to ask God whether you're going to hell or not. I mean, well, it's up to Monty whether he goes. It's up to every individual whether they go or not. Not predestined. It's a choice of the individual. For God so loved the world, everybody. He saved everybody. In him, you can be born again. Well, you know what that's coming to do? Pat you on the head because you're doing wrong. You're okay. You're predestined. He wanted me to say it. Well, you're going to heaven, man. You've been in my church for 8 years. No, you can go to hell if you want to. You believe that? I went on and told him, I said, I wouldn't listen to that doctrine. I said, I don't know. I don't want to know. I don't need to know who it is. I wouldn't listen to that not 1 minute. That preacher ain't got nothing for me. What that'll do is take everything that truth has been put out of me, little at a time, little bit of word here, little. And then before you know it, I'll be like, well, you know, I mean, I've given before, but it seems not work anymore. I've heard it. It used to work for me. No, you used to work it. It ain't that it don't work for you anymore. You're not working the Word. You're not following the Lord. You're not following the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit might lead you into trouble, but He'll lead you through the fire. He'll bring you out to an abundant place. So I want to encourage you. Don't let, you know, let just remember when you're in the trials, this is going to turn into a testimony. This that I'm going through, I'm going to give God glory. I'm going to go to church and I'm going to tell. I was going through this right here and I leaned on the Lord. And he did, you know what, that whatever you do, and God, if you'll do it, God will bring you out. That's a testimony for people that's in the fire. When I'm in the fire, I like testimonies. I'm like, whoo, I'm next. I'm next, baby. God ain't no respecter. See, if you don't know the word, well, I mean, I've been mad. I told a lie last week. I didn't really mean to. Satan just talked you right out of that. I ain't really been reading my Bible like I ought to. Is your works going to get you closer to God? No. You're already close to the Lord. You're just building yourself up where you have that shield of faith, where you have that confidence in yourself, Him in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So don't let your test turn into a down moaning, a defeated moaning. That's what the Lord told me. He said every test that you didn't yield to me in, He said, turned out and brought you bad stuff. He said it bringing you defeat. He said it would drain you spiritually. I begin to think of incidences. One time I'm I wanted a little pool in a ditch. So out in front of the house at Rosa, there's a ditch and water pretty much all the time in there. So I wanted to back it up, you know, and back it up. You ain't supposed to do that. It's on county property. But anyhow, I went down there and put me some blocks down there, and I built that thing up. I drove me some fence posts down, and I'm building a block wall, and I'm backing water up, and I was going to put some fish in it, you know. I'm backing that thing up there, and I worked hard doing that stuff, man. I've wanted ponds for a long time. I got them now. I do. I wouldn't quit, and I've got them. I'm backing that up, man. I'm down there, and it went like that, you know, and I thought, man, the pressure of that. And the Lord said, yeah. He said, where you're pressured like that, he said, fortify it. He said, fortify that. So I went and got me some plastic stuff, and I got it where to run over the blocks, back that water up in that ditch, you know. But God taught me a spiritual principle. He was saying every time the big pressure comes, you crack. He said, you got to fortify yourself. In other words, God was telling me, I can't do nothing for you here. This is a place where you choose. I set before you life and death. Choose life. Choose it. Choose to fight. Choose to build it up. I mean, I come home one time, you know, and I'm like, oh, glory to God, I'm winning people to I mean, I go to the jails. I had three jail ministries and a street ministry. And plus, faithful to church. And so... I mean, people are just getting saved, man. I mean, I'm winning. I've won hundreds to Jesus. Whether they was legit or not, don't know. That's up to them. But I've won hundreds to Jesus over a three-year period in three jails. You know, people's not in jail because they got everything going on. they're in trouble. And so when you offer them a deliverance, that sounds good. Well, I mean, I come on one evening, and I mean, I've worked all day and hard and everything. Teresa said something. We got into a little squabble, probably over nothing like it used to be. So I took me a bat, and I went up there, and I'd saved for about 5 or 6 months spindles, and I'd made our little porch nice, you know. I mean, it wasn't really a nice porch, but I made it look good. And so I climb up there, and I beat that porch down, boy. I beat it down. I mean, I'm feeling good. You know. Teresa opened the door and she said, fine preacher you are. Shuts the door. I mean, I'm going to jail winning people to Jesus, you know, and everything. Fine preacher you are. Shut the door. And I went around through there and I thought, fine preacher you are. Can't shut that big fat mouth. That's what the problem is. Got me mad. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, I'm going off on. And it got done. The Lord said, you didn't have to do that. I said, well, she made me mad. He said, you can't make me mad. Ain't we supposed to be like him? He said, your anger destroyed your blessing. He said, the devil didn't do it. I learned right then, the devil didn't do it. He didn't jump out of there and say, hey, I'm the devil. I'm fixing to tear down your porch, Jack. He didn't do it. The Lord said, you done it. He said, you yielded to anger, and it destroyed the blessing. And I thought, man, how many Christians does that? You know, might not be your wife. I mean, it might be at work. You know, I mean, Johnny just had the opportunity to talk down on me. Who does he think he is? I mean, it has the potential to upset you, man, especially if you've been dedicated and you're doing your best. But that guy might have been under some major pressure. I mean, who knows what he's going through? Who knows what the guy's... I mean, Teresa didn't know what all I was going through that day. I'm going to the time clock. And we had to clock in and out. And I'm actually getting persecuted by Christians at the time clock. I mean, they're picking on me like I'm some sinner. I looked at them one time and I said, y'all church bunch? I said, them sinners are better to me than y'all are, y'all heathens. I said, y'all ain't Christians. Y'all picking on me, man. I said, I come out of the world. I won't kill you now. I won't smash your tires that flat. I won't scratch your truck up. I won't total it out if I get mad at you. And here y'all are doing this to me. Are y'all serious? I mean, and so I'm going home and I'm like, gosh, man, I was better off not to get a Christian, man. They respected me. They're scared of me. I was just crazy, man. They didn't say much of nothing to me. My boss didn't. I just quit. Leave your truck in Birmingham and everything else. Walk home. That was dumb, wasn't it? See what anger caused you? That was stupid. Got to Birmingham. They told me something I didn't like. Got out of the truck, parked it, hitchhiked, got me a ride. All the way back in Birmingham. I called them and I said, you blankety blank trucks in Birmingham, jackhammers. Which I didn't say that. I was cussing them, boy, you know. Well, later I got saved, they did it, and I couldn't do that no more. Because I wasn't going to let that anger destroy me anymore. See, what I'm saying, I was flunking trials. That's all I was doing. It's fun. We can do it. But the more we mature and the stronger we get, the more dedicated we get to keeping our thoughts and keeping our emotions in check, the less you're going to do damage to yourself and somebody you love. The words that we say can cut somebody and hurt them. I mean really scar them and hurt them, praise God. That's why the Bible says, let all our conversation become of the gospel, that it'll minister grace to the hearers, that it'll minister something that'll help them, praise God. I never minister my trial to nobody. I'm just in a trial today, y'all. Forgive me for being snothead. Travis, he said the other day, now that guy, I'm going to close with this. He believes he's an atheist. He don't really believe that. But he's studied a lot of religions and stuff, you know, got a lot of head knowledge about it. So he determined he's an atheist, you know. And so, you know, that's what he determined. Travis told him when he started about a year ago, he said, I don't care if you're an atheist or not. Just put garage doors in. We don't care what you believe, man. Just come to work. We don't care if you're an atheist. Just come to work, you know. Well, this one job we're having a little trouble with, it's been prolonged, you know, and it is, some of these jobs are frustrating, you know, and so Travis, he said, if I wasn't a Christian, he said, and I wasn't, he's getting in the truck, Johnny, he said, and I wasn't trying to strive for excellence, he said, I'd go down there, he said, and I'd go in there, he said, and I'd be like Jesus, I'd turn the table over in there, like that, well, that guy's sitting back there. Travis gets in. He said, ain't getting angry sin? Like that, you know. Travis said, no, it says be angry, just don't sin. I said, don't talk bad about that company. I said, it says get angry, but don't talk about them. Got him too. Because I want to go down there and burn the place up too sometimes, you know. But we don't have to react to what we don't like. We don't have to react and respond and bring damage to ourselves. And you know what? If people's done you wrong, forgive them. I mean forgive them. I don't care who it is. I was going to close. I didn't lie, but I've got to tell you this story. I repent right now. So it's under the blood. My mom made a choice and put me in authority of some stuff, and then she wanted to help one of her other sons out later on, and I wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't do it because it was going to be mortgaging her place, you know, to help somebody, and the place paid for, I think it was. Me and Teresa had paid it off. She had mortgaged it, and we paid a little bit off that she owed anyhow, and so she put it in our name. Anyhow, I told her, I said, no, not going to do it. I said, I told you when you was doing it, did you know what you're doing? That this is going to take place and this, you know. You're a false prophet's what you are. You ain't nothing but a false prophet. And so I lived out, and my trailer was about far from here to the door out yonder from her house. And she'd be in the bathroom every morning when I'm starting to work with the window up. You false prophet's what you are. But you know what? It's funny now. But I mean, it about tore me. I mean, she was serious and she was mad and she felt like I didn't care about my brother or whatever she wanted, you know. But I made give my word, and I'm not going to change it. I hadn't been one to give you my word and not change it before I got saved. I'd lie to you. No, I'm lying to you. No, if you don't like it, you know what? I hate it. I'm not going to, I'll lie to you to get you to do what I want. Well, I'm trying to change, see? Well, it hurt. So what I'm saying, you know, I just prayed for my mama. I prayed for her. And you know what? Things went down, and that person ended up getting that, and person ended up getting it somehow, and then lost it. You know, guess who would have had that bill? My mama, me, me and Teresa would have had that bill. So I just had to, I had to, and later on God worked it out and all was smoothed out. So if somebody's hurt you, don't let that test become a testimony. You forgive them. You pray for them. That's how you overcome unforgiveness. It's not just thinking and saying, I forgive. God told me to pray for somebody that done me majorly wrong one time. And I did. I prayed for nearly 6 months every day for that person. And then it got to the place to where I never had a thought about what that person had done to me. And then it come to the place to where I could be around that person and never have a thought of the wrong that they did. And that's 1 Corinthians 13. Love keeps no account of the wrong done to them. And God is love, and love is in us. And that helps you to fight your battles, hallelujah. Because the Bible says faith works by love. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you.